What's up, everybody? My name is Jacob Walters, and I'm a senior on the Crocus Plains Regional Secondary School football team. When we had our first lead-em-up session with Adam, I knew this was something our team can really benefit from. It had a huge impact on our team, and I felt through our practices you can really see the actual impact it had on us. Everyone's focus was to be green, and honestly, I just love seeing it. As for me, it really changed the way I looked at being a leader. I could be a locker room guy, but I could also be the leader that the team needs me to be. Through Lead 'Em Up, I always made sure that my team was having fun and making most of the time that we had on the field.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
So thank you for listening and hanging out with us today. I am Adam Bradley alongside Kyle Elmendorf, our Lead 'Em Up regional coach down in the South. And, you know, we are approaching and in the midst of college football bowl season. And shortly hereafter, we're going to be entering into the NFL playoffs. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on big games, big matchups. And when that happens, there's always these moments and these clips where the TV stations and the broadcasts are trying to capture content, and they love miking up players and just getting that transparent, authentic, in the action moments of engagement and moments of leadership. You'll see moments of the player in the huddle getting everybody else together and fired up and excited. And that is what's going to be displayed front and center for our viewing pleasure, for our athletes' viewing pleasure. These will be the little snippets that'll get pulled out and blasted on social media, that'll get shared a variety of different times. And it's going to continue at that moment, building this perception that that is what leadership looks like. Now, most of us coaches are been around enough and understand that it's more than that. But oftentimes the players, the younger individuals, they aren't able to differentiate. They think that's what it is. And it is so important that we have conversations with our players that they recognize the following, that leadership is more than just the mic. It is more than just the mic'd up moment. And Kyle, I know this has been a topic that you've been thinking about. You know, what prompted this topic in your mind to say, you know, this is something we want to discuss? Because, and I'm going to share later some ways what you need to do to get to the mic moment. Okay.
Right.
But this was on your mind, you know, what process there, what generated those thoughts on your perspective?
Yeah, for me, it's really cool because I have an older son now who's starting to get into sports. And so sometimes, you know, he notices the things that are being said or how the players react in a moment. And he'll ask me what they're doing or why that is occurring. And then as I just started watching a few of these games the past couple of days, I was always, you know, thinking, this is the time of year where, you know, you're trying to, there's so many games on the air, you're trying to find substance for the viewers. You're trying to give them a peek behind the curtain. And now kind of seeing it through his eyes and watching it, I can see the perspective or the view from them of, if I want to be a leader or I want to help my team, this is how I do it. And there are great examples of it. But as you mentioned, I think there's a danger of falling into a trap of leadership is only sound bites. And as you mentioned, you, in order to lead in that capacity, there's things that need to be done prior to having that. But a lot of the times it's just a pregame hype session on the field where they do a position group or the whole team or at a timeout, something along those lines. Sometimes the information's great. Other times that's just a snippet. And you can't get to that point unless you're leading behind the scenes at practice, in the locker room, things of that nature. So I think it's important that we kind of bring that to attention because people are looking for things to share. Some of these sound bites are going to go viral. Some people are going to share it. Kids are going to see it. And they're going to think that that's leadership. So,
yeah. And it's so important that we communicate to our players. That is the culmination of a long list of things that have led up to it. And in fact, you can't get to that place unless you've earned the right to be in that place.
Right.
Those individuals that are leading sound bites, that are kind of leading huddles, that is representing that, they have done a variety of things to get to that point. And I think when we communicate that to our players, I actually believe it'll relieve some pressure on them. I believe there's players that feel pressure that that's what they've got to be. That's how they've got to show up. That's where they got to get to. But if we can tell them like, no, let's not be pressed for that right now. That comes later. We have to earn our way to that point. But right. For now, this is what you got to do. And when I think about what leads to that, like what helps allow you that opportunity to stand in front of your teammates, gain the respect and have the respect for them to listen, for you to be able to communicate like that, I think there's a couple things. One, you absolutely need to lead at a very high example. Everyone says lead by example. Sure, I'm talking high example, right? Like if the standard is here, you've got to be notches above the standard. There's got to be a great example being demonstrated from you. The second thing, you have to be consistent with your leadership. You will lose the ability to stand in front of your team if there's an inconsistency with how you show up. People won't take you as serious. They won't listen to you as deeply if they know you're the type of person that shows up some days and not other days and is inconsistent. They'll just say, oh, he or she's just putting on a show today, just trying to stand out. That's not really who they are, because who they really are is this inconsistent up and down, sometimes in, sometimes out type leader. So there's got to be a great high level example. There's got to be this incredible consistency with your leadership. There's got to be an enthusiasm and passion to your life and to how you act and interact with others. That has to be there. Like if you're dead and lifeless on a regular basis throughout the process, and then you try to show up in those moments at that level, it's not going to work, right? It's going to be too overwhelming and like, whoa, where'd this come from? Wow, that's strange. And it's just not going to be genuine and authentic. So there's got to be this ongoing enthusiasm and passion. Then the fourth thing, Kyle, you have to have some foundational relationships with your teammates. They've got to believe you, love you, trust you, be willing to be led by you in that moment, right? Like those four things come to mind for me that they have to be in place even to get to the healthy mic'd up moment. And if we can't get that other, that the mic'd up moment's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's the other stuff that really is the key. Then from that comes the moment.
Yeah. And I would kind of piggyback off a couple of those things you brought up. I really like what you said there about consistency, because a lot of the times that's the thing that we teach our athletes and lead them up when we're talking about building a green team. You know, are you someone that's floating constantly? Are you going from green to gray and then you'll have, you know, a red day every week or so? When you start to try to have that mic'd up moment, people are going to roll their eyes. And I've seen it before where there was a team where I coached early in my career. One of the athletes that we were coaching in basketball, I mean, he would fly off the handle at any given moment. And people were kind of on their toes, so to speak, because if something bad happened, he was just going to blow up. But then if he's going to try to lead them in a pregame huddle or try to pull the team together at a free throw timeout, you're not really going to take what he has to say seriously. All right. You haven't really earned the right to speak into that. The other thing I think about in today's culture, and I see it a lot on the Instagram highlight reels. I don't know if this is just a Florida thing. I suspect that it's all over the place, but it seems like if anybody is a decent player these days, they've got their own highlight reel almost every week. And so some of those highlight reels, the player is giving up a mic'd up moment, or they're trying to talk about like what needs to be done or how to lead their team or something to that effect. But like my question with that is who's it for? Like, are you acting as a leader right now just so someone can catch that sound bite and you can promo that on Instagram? Because in all reality, the best clips that coaches share the most often that go viral are someone that's celebrating and lifting their teammate up. So what's the motivation behind the words? Is it self-promotion or is it to enhance the team's performance? I think that's a big differentiator there that we got to look at. And, you know, with your point about relationships, it's absolutely 100% true because we relate that to the workplace. No one's going to listen to you and no one's going to take your leadership if you don't know them on more than a surface level. So Absolutely agree with those 4 points.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of things that in light of what you just shared first, yes, it's not just a Florida thing. It's an all everybody thing, at least where I'm here in the DMV. Man, I learned, actually was taken to another level of understanding it, where some players that I have through different teams are actually hiring. So I had a friend the other day ask me, he's a videographer, he does weddings, and he posted on Facebook. He said, help me understand, I went to a high school game and there was a tremendous amount of cameramen and young like videographers and photographers on the sideline. And he just asked a question. He's older, he's a little disconnected, but he went to a game. Who are they creating content for? Was his question. Like who are all the, are they all newspapers? Cause I guess he thought a lot of newspapers have kind of died. Like who are all these reporters right at this high school game? Right. And I chimed in and kind of brought him up to speed. And I commented, I said, listen, let me bring you up to speed. Most of these young people, sometimes they're doing it for the school or for social media, for the school or for the program and creating some content. But I have a significant amount of players that I know for a fact that are hiring these young kids, getting them access to the game. And those young player or those young videographers and photographers are capturing content for them to create mixtapes throughout the season. Yeah. And it's actually an interesting little business model for a young person. And I know we're getting off topic here, but it is what it is. It's actually an interesting business model where these young videographers, 16, 17, they're trying to build their brand. They'll link up. They charge the athlete like $50 a game. And they'll go and they'll get like 4 or 5 athletes on a team. So they'll make $250, $300. And they will just literally just be capturing content for each of those 5 people. They'll create the little mixtape. They'll send it out to each of them. And then, man, they just made $300. They are getting promoed and shouted out on each of those 5 individuals' pages. So like, hopefully that's growing their business. That's from their mindset. Yeah, it's a thing, right? But to your point, and I've seen it time and time again, they'll be in warm-up lines and the videographer will be capturing content and you'll see, you know, they'll go up to the one individual as he's stretching and you'll get some sound bites.
Yep.
You know, we're ready. Hey, we're going ready. We're going, you know, I believe in my guys, right? Like, but what's happening there? Like, is that for show? Is that simply to capture the content or is that actually happening? And has that person actually earned the right to actually say that in front of their team? That's a bigger question, right? And So, but for our players, they just need to continue to realize that the mic'd up moments that we are seeing in most cases, and this is important to recognize, in most cases, those individuals that are doing that, they would be doing that whether they were mic'd up or not.
Right.
Like that's who they are. That's how they operate. Or at least that's what we hope, right? We hope the true authentic nature is that, okay, when you see a mic'd up player, we're hopeful that that player isn't just doing that in that moment, but they've earned that right. They've done it in other moments. They do it in practice. That's a consistent part of who they are. So when they actually get to be under the spotlight, mic'd up, it is simply just displaying what they've already done and established. We hope that's the case. And our players, and that's what, I think that's the message we want to tell our players. Like, oh, you saw that mic'd up moment. Like, keep in mind, that guy probably is doing that every day.
Yeah.
He's probably doing that on the Tuesday practice in the middle of the winter when you don't feel like being there, he's doing it, right? Like, he's earned that. And you know what? Shout out to him that he's finally getting some display on it. Because he should, right? We celebrate so many other things in culture. Let's celebrate that good mic'd up moment, but just recognize that's not a standalone, isolated bit of leadership. It is part of a culmination and a process.
Absolutely. And to that point, I was doing a little bit of research on it this morning, just kind of looking up clips. And one that consistently popped up with, you know, mic'd up leadership is Draymond Green from Golden State. And a lot of the clips, it would be, you know, during the game, you would see him in a timeout. But the thing that kind of stood out to me in watching some of them is when he wasn't dressed and when he wasn't hurt, he was saying the same thing when he wasn't playing the game to the younger players. So, you know, there's a consistency there. It's not just when he knows that the camera's right there or he's mic'd up for a particular game, but it was across the board and it was out throughout different seasons. So he's one individual, I think, that has that consistency, but he has the relationship because you see him pouring into to Wiseman, a few of the younger guys that they have now, but that's been something he's done throughout the years. And yeah, when we see those clips and when you have younger athletes that have eyes on it now because they have time to watch it during the break and it's all there, those are the things that we should be pointing out. They should absolutely be celebrated. It's not like we're taking a knock on them, but what allowed them to get to that point, right? And there's certain things that we need to model if we want to be that and have that.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's Leadership Nugget. I love the question that has been asked, how do you know when someone needs encouragement? Followed by the answer, when they are breathing. That's right, we all need encouragement. We begin to see coworkers as where they are going instead of where they are today. And that encouragement and understanding, maybe that is the win they need to get their sales going. We begin to see customers not as transactions, but as a person that needs a lift up. And our smile can be just that. We all can pour into others, not as know-it-alls, just as intentional time spent caring and sharing with someone that needs a lift up. Now, let's get back to the episode.
And I can't just emphasize this enough, Kyle. It is so important for us to take a moment and reset expectations for our players around this. I was up in the Northeast recently, and I posted this photo with a variety of different photos of a young lady in an auditorium, and her and I were just talking one-on-one. And I'll kind of give a little glimpse into this conversation. You know, I celebrate her for even caring enough to want to grow as a leader, that after the entire session, we had about 150 athletes in there, she stayed around after to ask some questions. And here was the question. How do you best suggest I lead even though I experience heavy social anxiety? That was the question. And you could tell she's shy, she was quiet, but asking that question and staying after also tells me that, like, her heart's there. Like, she, right, she desires it, she wants it. And one of the first things that we started talking about was resetting the expectation. And I said, you know, just out of curiosity, why, like, where does this come from? Like, what makes you, like, where, what's driving this that you're concerned? How do I lead if I have social anxiety? And she basically got to the point of, like, it's this standing out in front of the group, right? It's this, like, what we're talking about now, this big, more grandiose moment of leadership.
That all the eyes are on you.
All eyes on you. And she's a young freshman sophomore with social anxiety. And a lot of people have different anxieties and such. So she's just, like, crippled in her leadership because she just thinks that's it. And how do I do it with this personality, with what I deal with? Like, how do I do it? And we had to basically back off of that ledge and say, no. Let's not even worry about that. Like, right, that may come down the road. That's that is nowhere in your immediate expectations of a leader right now, in my opinion, for her, where she is, freshman, sophomore, right? We've got some time before we even start talking about that. You could almost say that's when you graduate, right? Like, that's a master's program in leadership. Okay. You don't get to that level of the master's, the doctorate level of leadership until you've you've taken your prerequisites until you've taken all your 101 classes and all those other things. And you could almost say, you know, those are building the relationships. Those are, you know, throwing out little bits of encouragement. That's, you know, the 101s are you just showing up at a great high level where everybody now views you as just like someone who really cares, who's passionate, who holds the standard and lives up to it. Like, we got to get some of that down. Let's start doing that. That will naturally begin to influence, and it'll also begin to build up your foundation as an individual and a leader. And then we can talk about graduating to some of those steps. But our mic'd up conversation was that conversation with that young lady.
Yeah.
She has seen it. That's what she sees. That's what she connects. That's what she views leadership as. And it needed to be reset for her. And I believe, and I'm hopeful, that she walked away from that conversation feeling a little bit, probably being able to breathe a little bit easier from a leader's standpoint.
I think that you really hit on something there on a macro scale. Like, you know, didn't really anticipate the conversation going this route, but I think going back to the question that she asked and why she asked it, what prohibits a lot of people from engaging in leadership is just that, is they think it's this big thing that we put on a platform or a pedestal that someone's on and all the eyes are on them. And so for a lot of people who are leaders, they think sometimes it's just by position, by title, by authority. And I think a lot of adults operate from that space. By default, someone is going to be the leader of this company, this organization, or whoever, because that's what the title is. And that's where that leadership should come from. But then when we look back at sports, a guy like Jared Dudley comes to mind. Obviously, the dude's talented. He's been in the NBA for a long time. People want him on their roster, not because he fills up the stat line, because he's a great locker room guy. He's a leader. Same thing that you can find in all these different people that are NFL vets that have been around.
And the thing about Jared Dudley, Kyle, like, he actually isn't really doing the rah-rah big mic'd up moments. He's not like high profile enough, right? Like the broadcast don't mic him up, right? They want to mic up the star. So his influence is actually everything but the mic'd up moment. And it's so valuable that they're willing to keep him on the team and pay him millions.
Think about if they would have mic'd up Tim Duncan back in the day. I mean, one of the all-time greats. He wasn't vocal or anything like that. You would have heard nothing. Right. And then,
but this is why we also teach followership.
Exactly.
Right. And we speak on this theme of rotational leadership, which is connected to it, which says every single person plays a role of a leader and a follower. And it changes day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. It's constantly rotating. And there may be moments where I'm stepping up and speaking. Now I'm leading. But the moment I'm listening to you talk, I'm following your lead. And it's regardless of rank, experience, title, position, or longevity. It's regardless of all of that. Everybody at times has to follow the lead of others and at times may step out as the leader. But it reminds us that in all circumstances, we have the ability to lead. Because when you're a high-performing follower, right, when you're doing the things as a high-performing follower, one that we say is enjoyable to lead, if you simply break down that word, enjoyable, right, it means to put joy in, which means I need to be doing something. I need to be acting in some way in order to put joy in someone. So even though I'm not in my leadership position, I can be acting in a way that's putting joy in others, that's boosting others, that's lifting up others, which is leadership. Okay.
That's right. You're influencing the behavior of another individual.
I'm boosting them, even though in this moment I may not be the leader. And I just share all that because the followership is a great example of the opposite of rah-rah moments, the opposite of mic'd up moments, because that's more of a kind of behind the scenes. That's more of a quieter way. That's more of like, you know, on the receiving end of that leadership. But in all circumstances, you have the ability to lead. It doesn't always have to be the grand visual. And we need to remind our players that dynamic, because I actually believe culture is best created and more highly impacted through the day-to-day, smaller, non-mic'd up moments than they are by the big, grand, mic'd up moment, okay? Like, listen, you could throw me a big birthday party. It could be my birthday, and you could throw me a big birthday party, this big, grand thing, and look, I'm celebrating you. But if you don't show much care, love, and respect for me the other 364 days, I don't care about the birthday party. I'm going to be like, that's not real. That's just you putting on a show. You doing what you feel like you have to do. Like, everybody's going to get excited for the birthday, but can you show the love, care, and respect for me the 364 days? If you can do that, like, now all of a sudden we're talking. So when we talk about culture and just the leadership that comes from it, you know, the mic'd up moment, players want to step up in that. But I'm going to tell you what really is going to build something special is when we can do it day in and day out in the little moments and the non-mic'd up environments. That's what's going to really create something special. It's not the big moment. So once again, this message needs to be relayed very intentionally to our players because they don't necessarily have the maturity, the understanding to recognize what really is happening here.
Yeah, I think a great tool for coaches would be is when these clips get shared and maybe saving them or sharing them with the team is asking your players the question of what allowed that person to be able to share that piece of leadership. And then to take it a step further, like you said, with followership, how did the person receiving that piece of leadership take it? Because that can tell you a lot about the authenticity of it and where they really see that person as a leader. Did they brush it off? Did they walk away? Did they give a read receipt as we teach? Did they give any of that? If they did, then you know it's real and you know it's consistent. If it's not there, then you might talk about, well, why is this just for show? And how can we be more intentional in our culture that we're building here to make sure this is a daily thing, not just a mic'd up thing?
Yeah, and it's actually pretty awkward when you try to live the mic'd up moment and you haven't earned it.
you really put yourself out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's awkward, right? Like, it's awkward for everybody. You're like, you know, it is the classic example of when closed door player only meetings in the locker room go bad. It's usually because someone stepped up in that mic'd up moment and hasn't earned it, okay?
Right. Where were you at all season? Now you want to talk?
Yeah, and it just creates this awkwardness. So, you know, I think that's one other thing to kind of just joke with your players about. You know, say, you know, this would that moment, like, actually, you could almost paint the scenario. Let's take a Drew Brees, right? Because I go to him a lot in this mic'd up moment because they love his when he was playing his in the Superdome, getting the team going.
Drew Brees, Ray Lewis always comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, but like almost paint the picture and say, okay, all right, let's watch Drew here for a moment. He's in there and he's getting them all going. Everyone's fired up and he does his little hand thing that, you know, they all kind of bounce up or whatever. All right. Now picture for a moment, Drew Brees trying to do this, but him like being this inconsistent, selfish, no relationship leader, right? Like he missed practice earlier that week. He was suspended a week before, right? He's all about himself. He doesn't necessarily like demonstrate the things on a regular basis. All right, now picture a player like that. Okay. And you could name a player. I'm not going to name a player, but you could pick a player's name, right? And just be like, think about a guy like that. We all can view from an outside. Everyone thinks he's a selfish, kind of ego driven. Like, let's put him in that situation. Guys, tell me. Help me. What does that look like? How do you think it goes? How do you think it plays out? How would you respond if you were in the huddle and that player stepped in? Tell me, would you be all in? Like, yeah, that's my guy. I'm going to listen. I'm going to follow. Or would you be looking at that person like kind of puzzled? Like,
who's this for?
You're doing this? Like you are doing this? Well, get out of here. You're not doing it. Like, have that conversation with your player and allow them to get to the ridiculous nature. And you know what? Even take it to an extreme to illustrate the point. Like, find the most dysfunctional teammate. Find the most selfish, dysfunctional teammate out in pro sports that's well known and that everybody knows, and then use that example. So it's just ridiculous. So the player's just like, oh, that would be a joke. That's embarrassing. Or use your own player.
Yeah.
Find your own player on the roster when you're having some of these one-on-one conversations with a player and say, hey, what do you think if, like, you know, Amber did that? You know, like, Amber's not really, like, in. She's, like, you know, inconsistent. Like, we don't even know if she really likes the team. Like, she sometimes we don't even know if she likes her teammates. Like, imagine if her randomly stepped up and tried to do that. How would you respond? You know, I'm sure you get a really eye-opening response from a player. They'd be like, that'd be ridiculous. I'd almost laugh.
Yeah. What keeps coming while you're sharing this, and I go back to what you were saying with the young female student that stayed after and asked you that question. I think self-awareness is such a key part of this as well, because mic'd up is a byproduct of consistent leadership, but also you have to know where you're comfortable leading from. And so, like, Drew Brees, that was his style and it worked for him in the Saints. But I think of, like, a guy like Aaron Rodgers. You know, you see him where he plays with emotion. You know, he tells Chicago that he still owns them, right, in the middle of the game. But I've never really seen him deliver a pregame speech where he's doing the Drew Brees thing, right? That's not really his personality. That's not really, like, how he wants to lead or where he wants to lead from. He's more of the quiet guy, but you can be sure that those people respect him in that locker room when they play for him. And, you know, I think that's another thing that we can teach our athletes here is, if you're not comfortable being that person that's the vocal, you know, spokesperson for the team, you don't have to lead from there. You can do it behind the scenes and give other people spotlight. You know, Brady gets all the attention for who he is and what he's done. But last year, they said he only gave one pregame speech and one locker room speech, and it was the one before the Super Bowl. And it got people's attention, and they perked up a little bit, because normally it was reserved for Devin White, who was the captain of the defense. He was the one that would do that. So I think you have to be aware of who you are as a leader, and that comes with reps and all of that. But you don't have to be the vocal person with the mic in your face to lead.
Yeah, that's a great reminder, you know. And, you know, I think about that. You made me think about it for myself. Like, I occasionally will get asked by coaches to give, like, the pregame, like when I coach, you know, when I'm at a game. They'll say, Adam, do you want to do the pregame talk, kind of get us going and all that? And, you know, like, that's not my comfort zone, actually. And that may be a little bit of a surprise, because I am out in front of people, like, but I like teaching and I like facilitating conversations. I'm not going to be the, like, rah, like, let's go. You know, like, I have that, those moments where I show that, but, like, that's not my, like, I don't really love that. And I actually decline. I'm like, nah, I'm good. You know, I'm good. And, like, I'll be the person that, like when I'm with my team, I'll bring everybody together for the huddle. Like, hey, bring it in. Hey, let's go. Bring it in. And then I actually want to pass off the intense breaking us out of the huddle. I actually want to pass that on to someone else.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that side, but that's a great call out, right? Because everyone's got to find, like, their angle, and, like, you don't need to be something you're not. I don't think you need to feel that pressure. And if it happens, it happens. Cool. But you've got to find and have that self-awareness. So great call out there. But, you know, coaches, you know, I hope today's podcast triggered some thoughts in your mind and kind of pushed you a little bit to be more intentional with this focus of making sure players recognize what leadership really is all about. And if you have individuals that may not be stepping in, maybe that's a result of them having the wrong perception, right? Thinking that they've got to be something that they're not. Have these conversations with your players, remind them. And I'm going to tell you, it is so critical, especially in today's younger environment, because there are more and more players that are shy and that are reserved and that are timid and stick to themselves a little bit from a leadership standpoint. And we have to let them know that that's not an excuse not to step up and lead. But we've just got to figure out, how do we do it in your genuine, authentic nature, right? And staying in your lane there, but them recognizing, you know what? this is what leadership is. It is these smaller little things throughout the day, day in and day out. So, and Kyle, I'm glad you brought up also, use these highlights as maybe moments that we can teach off of.
Absolutely. Hey,
like, what did he do to get here? Like, give me three things you think he did or he had to have done over the last month, last couple months, last year in order to put himself in that position. Give me three things quick. Tell me, right? That, like, ask that question to the players. See what they say. And I'm sure that you'll get answers like, well, he's probably really consistent. You know, probably led by example each and every day. Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Those things matter. So let's do those things. Let's not even stress about the other. Let's do those things. And if that stuff comes, all right, it comes.
Yeah, it's a byproduct.
It's a byproduct. So listen, we appreciate you tuning in. If you have any thoughts on today's episode, by all means, hit us up on social media. You can always email us at info@leademup. Just comes to the team. Any thoughts, feedback whatsoever. And as always, till next time, we appreciate you. On behalf of Kyle, I am Adam. Have fun. And lead them up.
We want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for partnering with us on the Lead Them Up podcast. Chick-fil-A is mostly well known for their incredible original chicken sandwich and those amazing waffle potato fries. But what people might not understand is there is a lot more going on behind the counter. You see, every Chick-fil-A is individually owned and operated by someone who deeply cares for their community and for their team. So next time you get an urge to go buy a Chick-fil-A, remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. We are thankful to Chick-fil-A and thankful for you for listening. So until next time, have fun and lead them up.